Is wood taken from it to make any object? Or can man make any peg from it to hang any vessel on? Instead, it is thrown into the fire for fuel, and the fire devours both ends of it, and the middle is burned. Is it useful for any work? Indeed, when it was whole, no object could be made of it. How much less will it be useful for any work when the fire has devoured it, and it is burned? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, like the wood of the vine among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so I will give up the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will set my face against them, and I will go out from they will go out from one fire, but another shall devour them. And then they shall know that I am the Lord when I set my face against them. Thus I will make the land desolate because they have persisted in unfaithfulness, says the Lord God. 15 chapters of God pouring out his holy wrath, his righteous jealousy. 15 chapters. And after chapter 16, we have 30 or 40 more of him pouring out his jealousy, his frustrations on Jerusalem. And we have the book of Jeremiah, and we have the book of Isaiah, and we have the book of Lamentations, all speaking about the same events, about the same time, all pouring out God's frustration on a people that he loved dearly. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this, but the more you love something, the more jealous you get to protect it, or when that thing goes away. I'm not one for people who say that they talk to the Lord. Sometimes I think there's a lot of nut jobs out there. That being said, God spoke to me one time. And I remember it very clearly. And you know, like I say, I truly believe that the Lord speaks through His Scripture, and He doesn't give any more divine revelation. But one night I had a dream, and God spoke to me through it. And I was at my grandpa's house, and the day kind of goes like this. It was a day like pretty much any other day at my grandpa's. We woke up early in the morning, and we start going, and I happened to have a Jesus hat on. And my grandpa, from the moment I set foot out the door that day, was giving me grief about this Jesus hat and reminding me of all the ways I've messed up and all the ways I've, you know, fallen short, and just kind of just needling and prodding at me all day. And throughout the day, finally, I took off the hat. I'm like, all right, I can't handle it no more. Just leave me alone. And my grandpa is the kind of guy that he knows. He's seen me make mistakes. He's seen me screw up lots of times. But my grandpa, for some reason, always wants me to have a beer with him or something. So I was like, okay, fine, I'll just have a beer with you. It's no big deal. You know, I just don't want to hear about it. Oh, you're judging. He used to say, why don't you have a beer with me? You're too good to have a beer with me. And I'm like, fine, I'll drink a beer with you. And I really changed the way that I kind of did things, because I just didn't want to get any grief from it. And so, as it were, that night I went to sleep, just like I had gone to sleep many other nights. And woke up about 6, well, probably about 4:30, and I had a dream, and this is how the dream goes. So I'm walking up to my wife Danielle's house. We're not married yet, we're just dating. And I walk up to the house, and I knock on the door, and whoosh, there she is. Beautiful, radiant. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, beautiful wife, right? I see her, and my heart just jumps. I'm super excited to be in her presence. And we go out, and we trip the lights fandango. We go dancing, and we have dinner. Very intimate time. We're holding hands, and just, it was great. It was awesome. And as we go home, I'm walking her up to the door, and I bring her to the door of her house, and I give her a good long kiss goodnight. And she goes inside, and I'm just like, the door shuts, and I'm on the streets, where, you know what I mean? You guys remember My Fair Lady? No? Okay. Well, that's what it was like in my dream. Just this, she totally gets me. We totally have this connection. And so as I'm walking away from her house, I open the gate, and this other guy passes me. And I'm like, hey, what are you doing? You know? And he doesn't acknowledge me, and he goes up to the door. So I just want to see, being a little nosy. And he knocks on the door, and she opens the door, and she throws her arms around him. And by that time, you know, being the jealous boyfriend that I am, I'm like, hey, what's up? What's going on? And they go out, and they won't hear anything that I'm saying. They can't hear anything, because I'm mad. I'm frustrated. And they go out, and they have a great night. In fact, they have a very similar night to the night we had. She throws her arms around him. She loves him. They're holding hands. They're dancing. It was an amazing night, but it wasn't with me. And he drops her off at home and gives her a big kiss, and he goes inside, or she goes inside, and he leaves. And all this time I'm standing there, and nobody's heard the word I said. And to say the least, I was hot. I was mad. And I woke up, and I remember very, I don't know audibly, I would think not, but I heard, as I was super frustrated and upset, I actually wanted to go wake Danielle up and get mad at her. That's how mad I was. That's how frustrating. But I heard that still small voice, maybe in my heart, maybe in my head, I don't know. And it says, this is the way I feel about you. How long until you give your whole self to me? How long until we don't just have a season or a time or a day or an afternoon? How long until all of you is mine and there is no others? And as soon as those words, unfortunately, my anger for Danielle or frustration with her was completely gone. It was one of those situations where I truly believe God, you know, I was almost speechless for 4 or 5 minutes. And maybe I'm just crazy. Maybe it wasn't the Lord. I don't know. But it spoke right to my heart, and it spoke to me, and I got up that morning and put my Jesus hat on. And I wasn't going to take it off. But as I see God pouring his heart out and pouring his love out in chapter 16, it's very intimate. It's very passionate. It's a love that is all-consuming. It's I don't know. We're going to read about it. I guess that's the easiest way. I don't want you to get lost here as we kind of go through the scripture. This is a historical event. God is speaking to the city of Israel. Not the nation not the nation Israel, but the city of Jerusalem. It's talking about a very specific city. But also, because it's history, there's application for us today. So I'm going to try to go through both. So we're going to be in chapter 16. It says, again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, your birth and your nativity are from the land of Canaan. Your father was an Amorite, and your mother a Hittite. And it's there's no misunderstanding. The Israelites didn't build Jerusalem. You guys know that, right? Jerusalem was already a city. It's probably called something different. But it was already a city. It was already a place from where it was, you know, it was designed. It was built. I can't remember exactly who built it. But I know in 2 Samuel that David took it from the Jebusites, right? We kind of get that. So her origin comes from this unholy, necessarily, place. You know, it wasn't built by the nation of Israel. It says, and on that day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed in water, nor to cleanse you. And you were not rubbed with salt, nor wrapped in swaddling cloths. No, I pitied you to do any of these things for you, and I have compassion on you. But you were thrown out to have compassion on you. But you were thrown out into an open field when you yourself were loathed on the day of your birth. You know, there's historically, we know that this place was a battleground many times. It was, I don't think, anything special when it came to a city. I don't think it was something that when you walked the day that Jerusalem was created, I don't know if you would ever stop and say, this is the place the holy God is going to dwell. This is going to be the city of God. I don't I don't think that the day it was founded, those things were true. And the truth is same for us. Or the truth is same for us. When we came into this world, we're born what? Sinners, right? Romans. Well, let's see. Yeah, I can't remember what verse that was. I didn't write it down. Basically, he's saying by one man's sin, we were all given over to sin. We all became sinner by one man's sin. That was Adam. Just so that by the same token, one man's righteousness could save us all through Christ. See, none of us come from great backgrounds. None of us in ourselves have this ability to say, yes, I am something special. The day that Jason was born, the skies parted and a voice came from heaven, well done, good and faithful servant. No. No. No, sorry. I was born in the same condition we all were born in. Same condition you were born in. Same condition that that this city finds itself in. Nothing special. In fact, if being born a sinner, I'm already condemned to death, right? I'm already meant for destruction. I'm born a sinner. Same was true for this city. There was nothing special. It says, but when I passed by you and saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you in your own blood, live. Yes, I said to you in your blood, live. And I made you thrive like the plants of the field. And you grew mature and became very beautiful. And your breasts formed and your hair grew, but you were naked and bare. This city began to receive blessings. It began to grow. God began to cultivate it. God began to, every time the city changed hands from the Amorites or the Hittites or the Jebusites or King David, we know that each time it grew because God had a special plan for this city. God had a special, he said that he saw it and he said live. Who did it? Who did the work? What does it say that the blessings of God fall on the righteous and the unrighteous? There is nothing that, there are certain blessings that I have today that are blessings from God regardless of the kind of life I live or what's going on, right? I have air in my lungs. How many of you ate today? Blessing. Yeah, there's one. How many of you ate too much? Curse. Oh, sorry. There's so many blessings. How many of us have children? How many of us have been blessed by God? But yet we're still naked and bare. See, this particular city, even though God had blessed it and told it to live and had it began to mature and thrive, it was still naked and bare. The city didn't belong to anybody yet. I think of this in my own life. There came a time in my life as I was growing up that I resided under the headship of my father or my mother as I lived with them. And they guided me and they taught me things and they began to grow me up in the Lord. And I see a time where all of these things started happening. I started having all these blessings and God was working and moving in my life, but I wasn't the Lord's yet. You see the difference? God, even though God is blessing her and she's growing and maturing, the city doesn't belong to the Lord. See, the city is being referred to as a young girl, as she's been growing up. And it says that she is maturing. It says matured and become very beautiful. Her breasts are formed. She's kind of age. Her hair is long, but she's naked and bare. Who is the covering for this city? Christ is going to be eventually, or God, as he comes into this place. And nothing is being produced from her spiritually yet. She's still naked and bare. But her time is coming. I think there was a time in my life, like I say, that I seen God working and I seen God doing stuff. And I was covered under the faith of my parents. I was covered under the faith of of the people who were leading me as I grew up as a young man. And same is for sure, who is the covering for a young woman before she's married? Her father, right? Her father becomes that covering. And she's covered. And it says, so we'll continue on. So that's that. She's not quite there. She's not ready yet. She's not, even though she's being developed, she's growing, she's being blessed by God, but she hasn't been given to God yet. It says, and when I passed by you again and looked upon you, indeed your time was the time of love. See, this is the time in this. Wish I could explain it better. Kind of lose the words. When King David took over that city, it became the time for that city to be given. It became time for that city being shown these blessings, being risen up and doing all these things. King David made Jerusalem the jewel of the Israelite kingdom. It was the place to be. And it was her time. It was her time of love. She was mature and ready to be given. God had shown himself to be faithful and provided for her and done all these things. And now it was the time for her to be given. And it says, so I spread my wings over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, says the Lord God. See, this letter is written to, it's kind of like a parable. He's using poetic language to describe the relationship that he had. See, God loved this city, and he says for these Jewish men, he was trying to explain it in a way that they would understand. And there was a couple ways to get married. One of them was to arrange a marriage between families with your fathers. The other one was that kind of you would meet, and I'm not sure exactly how it all goes, but the woman would bow down before him, and they would kind of have a thing, and the Israelite man would lay his cloak over her, covering her. He's basically saying, she's mine. And that's what we see the Lord doing. It says that he entered into an oath and entered into a covenant. And we see that covenant being manifest in Samuel, I think chapter 6 or 7, 2 Samuel, as David brings the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. And Jerusalem becomes the place that the Spirit of God lives. He has spread his wing over that place. This is an amazing time for them. This is, to me, when you see Jerusalem at her absolute finest, this is a time when we come into for this particular time, it's where all the blessings we see, some of the most amazing things that came out of Jerusalem were during this time. And I think the reason why that is because they belong to God. Verse 9, it says, I washed you in water. Yes, I thoroughly washed off your blood. And I anointed you with oil and clothed you with embroidered cloth and gave you sandals of badger skin. And I clothed you with fine linen and covered you with silk. I adorned you with ornaments and put bracelets on your wrist and a chain on your neck. And I put a jewel in your nose, earrings on your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. Thus you were adorned with gold and silver, and your clothing was of fine linen, silk, and embroidered cloth. And you ate pastries of fine flour, honey, and oil. And you were exceedingly beautiful and succeeded to royalty. Your fame went out from among the nations because of your beauty, for it was perfect through my splendor, which I had bestowed on you, says the Lord God. And that, like I say, as I was going through there, this, if you read historically, this becomes, I mean, right after this Solomon is building the temple, he is the wisest king with a God living in the most amazing city. And everybody comes to hear what he has to say and be a part of what they're doing. God is just pours out him. He pours financial blessings and spiritual blessings. And he multiplies basically everything that they have. And like I say, this history lesson tells, when I see all of this stuff, I can see how God loves the city of Jerusalem. But I also see the application in my life that God, he loves me. See, I came from nowhere, a nobody. Jesus was kind and compassionate to me. He let me be raised in a family that taught me about Christ. He let me be raised in a place where I could thrive. And one day he passed by me, and he saw me, and he began to mature, and I had was ready to make that decision for him. I was ready to be a part of his plan, to be with him. And he spread his wing over the top of me, and he covered my nakedness, my sins, my shortcomings, and he entered into an oath. Jesus says that wherever I go, he'll be with me, and that he went to go make a place for me. He has a special place. And then, I love verse 9, because it says, I washed you in the waters, yes, I thoroughly washed off your blood. And it always makes me laugh that he put his wing over the people. He put his wing over that city. He put his wing over me while I was still dirty. He says, I washed off your blood and anointed you with oil. He's given me the Holy Spirit. And I clothed you in embroidered cloth and gave you sandals of badger skin. He's not only clothed me with those things, but he's clothed me in Jesus' blood. And I clothed you with fine linen, and I've covered you with silk. God has blessed me abundantly, more than I could ever imagine. He's given me a family and a place to worship and a place to be. And I can see how, as God goes through this and he begins to pour out all of the things that he's done, how can you not be jealous when you see what you've poured your heart and soul into, what you've made, and to see it kind of walk away? And this is a thing I think we forget most. I think the city of Jerusalem and us as believers says, your fame went out among the nations because of your beauty, for it was perfect through my splendor, which I had bestowed on you. Don't ever forget where our splendor comes from. I see a lot of the young girls. We get to work with youth group, and I get to see a lot of these young girls coming up of age. I know Cammie Lee is one of the ones that kind of came to my mind as I was reading through this. And I first saw her, she was like this tall, kind of pudgy, looked like every 8-year-old, 9-year-old girl I'd ever seen, you know. And if you see her now, she's like this tall. She's beautiful. She's a beautiful young woman. And I know at some point in time, her time is going to come when she gets to make her decision for Christ and for God. God's going to be calling out to her. He's been raising her up. He's been ministering to her heart. And I know above all else, the things that he wants for those young people is to put his wing around them and to wash all their blood off. All of these things are great. And all of these things are, to me, those attributes of God that make me love him so much. I love God because he first loved me. He came, he died on a cross so I could be with him. He set me free from my sin and shame. He became the rock that I was able to build my life on. And I hope that I don't ever get so cocky or proud of myself that I forget that it was his splendor that he bestowed on me that made it that way. The rest of chapter 16 is pretty harsh. I'll just read the heading of the next chapter. It says, Jerusalem's harlotry. And when I contemplated why he wrote so much, 15 chapters before, 30 some odd chapters after, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the Lamentations, when I see how jealous he is, I think it's because just the insight to this chapter that he loves us that much. I'm not going to belabor the subject tonight. I just want you to know that God loves you even if you were formed by a Hittite. Even if your life came out of trouble and craziness. I want you to know that God has been ministering to you for this day. It says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that the Lord has brought you forth. And today you get the opportunity. Most of you guys have made that decision already. But today you get the opportunity to kneel down before Jesus Christ and say, I love you and I want to serve you. And to have him put his cloak over you and cover you. You have the opportunity today to be washed thoroughly. To be given the Holy Spirit. To be washed and clothed in Christ's blood. And I don't... I guess I just want you to know and say it as easy as I can is God loves you. I got some new kids back here tonight. Good to see you. I just want you to know before you leave tonight, God loves you. God has something special for you planned. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that that you are kind to me, Lord, and that you have spared me so many heartaches and troubles, Lord. I thank you that that when I was naked and poor, you came and you loved me. And you put a crown on my head, Lord. And I thank you for tonight, Lord, and I thank you for the opportunity to just be able to tell these people how much you love them. And I hope, Lord, that as you minister to their hearts this week, Lord, as you minister to their needs, that they would see the hand of a loving God working in their lives, even if it hurts, even if some of the stuff's painful, even if some of the stuff's hard to deal with, they would see a loving God working and ministering in their life, helping to grow them up, helping to guide them in the ways of everlasting, Lord, to bring them into salvation with you. And I pray, and I pray, and I pray, Lord, that we would never lose sight of that, Lord. We'd never be so enamored with our own beauty that we forget the splendor of you and the reason why you've given it to us. I lift these people up to you, Lord, and I ask you to bless them, to bring them close to you no matter how you deem worthy to do that. And I just ask you for an outpouring of your Spirit, a movement of your power. And I ask in Jesus' name, amen.